You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I am joined by Aotearoa noise rock outfit Sulfate, who this morning announced their third studio album, And At Once, via Flying Nun and Holiday Records. With a dark, heavy sonic palette, their next record was cooked up in Newlands Industrial Area on a diet of Cormac McCarthy novels, Adam Curtis documentaries, and the madness of gothic horror. What a line. From it, we receive lead single Acqui, a track that comes as a reaction to the polished, modern existence. Here now to chat all about it, welcome to the program, Peter and Zach. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good, thank you for having us.
It's my pleasure to have you both. And I hope you're having a little bit of a warmer morning than we're having here in Dunedin.
Yeah, Did I hear snow to sea level? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, it's proper snow out there.
Chaos.
Yeah, well, you say that. I saw a picture of a bus that was diagonal across one of the busiest streets in the city. So, it's a little bit wild out there today.
Nah, too much for me. We're softer in Auckland.
Yeah. But well, you say that, and I think that, you know, like the people of Dunedin, they haven't had snow for so long. They must be getting soft. And the amount of students I walked past on my way here, and I just wanted to stop them and go, no need, go home. Why are you on campus? Why are you here?
Back up.
Yeah. Let's chat about the single first and foremost released today. It's murky and sticky in kind of the best way possible. Featuring your commanding talk vocals, Peter, you wanted this single to stand as a reaction and in despite of the modern online kind of perfect existence-ness in the social media age, and worked with audio engineer Emily Wheatcroft-Snape to accomplish an authentic live sound. Why was that so important to you, and does that carry across the rest of the tracks on the album?
It absolutely does. That was more an approach across the whole album in mm-hmm. the sense that we wanted the sound to be raw and real, because I feel like there's that temptation nowadays, just with how online everything is, that things are perfect, that we look at reels, we look at your TikToks and stuff, and everything's polished and perfect, and to put an album out that is hopefully going to connect with people on a somewhat deeper, longer lasting level, it needs to be real and it needs to sound real. And so we lent into guitar takes that don't really make sense, noise which is kind of unhinged and feels like it's gonna sort of take off at any moment, and I think that kind of conveys the kind of sentiment and mood of the record. And just this first single definitely shows that, I think.
Yeah, nice. The theme of death is very prevalent here. The track is about the desire one has to delay the inevitability of death, but in doing so creates an existence that's devoid of joy, as if one isn't really living at all. Now, it sounds glum on the surface, but I think there's actually quite a radical hope underpinning that sentiment, that you've got to really live your life and look death in the eye to do so.
Hell yeah, that's exactly it. Well, that's what I hoped anyway. It's nihilism, right? Mm. Nothing matters. There's no rules. We all die in the end. But through that, you can kind of, there's freedom and this liberation to do things which are of meaning to you and are of meaning to wider society. But that fear is through this track, and that fear is definitely through the record, but yeah, this track especially. It's all about that. It's all about seizing the moment. It's all about looking death in the eye and trying to live honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe. Trying to capture that sentiment.
Yeah. And do you see music as the kind of ultimate liberation, both for musician and listener?
I don't know about that.
I told you I had tricky questions at 8:30 in the morning.
Zach, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think music. Look, there is a power to music, like, and I think you can use it in a way that can maybe get you to that point that what Pete is talking to. Everybody's experience of reality is their own. And so, yeah, maybe for Peter it's cycling, or for me it's playing Magic the Gathering, or it's maybe not listening to music, but the act of making music communally.
Yeah,
could be. It's, yeah, I mean, for me it's a big reason why I enjoy life.
Good. I like both of those answers. I felt you nailed that one, guys. Yeah, nailed it. Now, cooking up the record on a diet of Adam Curtis documentaries. I love Adam Curtis. What significance did his work play in your lyrics and the sonic landscape?
Well, that was something that I put out there. So, and that was maybe more of a reflection of doing the admin and having to type out what I thought the lyrics were, and then Peter confirming them, whether they were right or wrong, and then placing my own thoughts on them. I guess, you know, what I admire about his body of work is that he is trying to provide a historical context to the systems of power that we live under, and maybe explains kind of like why it's so hard and why it's so difficult to make things better, and there's kind of, I find some solace in that, that there is a communal, there is a reason why the systems of power are the way they are.
Yeah.
That mixed with the fact that, you know, he's a great way of pairing music and archival clips.
Yeah.
He's got a lovely voice. And his title cards as well, the way that he puts them all together. I was thinking a lot about hypernormalization when I was typing out Peter's lyrics. But they're all good, you know. Shifty, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Yeah.
His earlier works.
Really, yeah, great. He's very mind-blowing, I think. Or at least he was to me when I was, you know, 18, watching it for the first time. I was like, this is insane. Now, you've had some major changes during your break with the band. Zach, you've joined on bass. Peter, you've moved from what is described as an overly complicated keyboard setup to an electric guitar with a few pedals as possible. In your mind, why was that shake-up necessary, and in what unexpected ways have you flourished in its wake?
So the second Sulfate record, Godzone, we tried to tour that record 3 times during COVID.
Oh.
We cancelled each time. And that kind of left a sort of sour taste in my mouth of trying to put records out, trying to release music, trying to tour music mostly. And so the band kind of went on hiatus for a little bit. I focused more on studio stuff, stuff that you could do while remaining in one place, I suppose. When we came to this record, it definitely felt like we could do whatever. We could go anywhere. It was a fresh, it's a clean palette. And part of that clean palette was, I was thinking about, you know, A, who would I want to work with? Zach, obviously. and B, how did we want to, what did I want to do? Because I felt like as I was setting up for shows and things way back when, I was spending 20 minutes, 30 minutes backstage just plugging in bloody synthesizers. And I'm like, no, keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Play guitar. Plug it into a hotcake. Plug it into an amp. And so that's what I wanted to do. Mm. And when I started Wax Chattels, my other band way back when in 2016, 2017, I was playing this old Yamaha YC20 combo organ, like the guys at the Doors played or whatever, this big heavy suitcase thing. And my thought with that was put it through a fuzz pedal, put it into a guitar amp, keep it simple. And by keeping your setup as simple as possible, it means that musically you can really get stuck into things like arrangements, and there's not the temptation to click on another pedal or to have another texture come in. And by keeping it simple and stripping it back to its bare essentials, you can kind of, other things tend to flourish. And I think those other things are what make songs themselves more interesting than just sounds, if that kind of makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. That's a great explanation. And when you talk about creating intensity through repetition on this record, and that intensity, it does carry over into the lyrical themes, obviously what we were talking about with hypernormalization there, clinging to optimism and joy while being subject to the existential nihilism of our current Western reality. What do you hope that listeners and gig goers spiritually get out of these tracks at your live show? We kind of touched on that earlier, but in a much more literal sense.
So in the alternative festival community, there is this thing called the ecstatic dance, where all stages unite into one sound system. Everyone comes together and there's this euphoria, everyone dancing together. That, but from a perspective of death and nihilism.
I love it.
You're in it together. You're celebrating the joyousness that we all die.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think that's what I want every time I go to a gig, is that reminder of, you know, like, we're all going to die, but isn't this great right now? And that we're all experiencing something collectively together. Now, we're just about out of time, but yeah, the announcement of the record, tell us, give me three words to sum it up. Give me the hard, quick sell for it.
I think the line from the press does it best, feral, devolved, and then it's not a word, but I'm going to say it anyway, running on instinct.
Beautiful. Can we expect some shows in Dunedin at any point? I'm seeing some nodding.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And you've got new, Louisa Nicklin on the band as well.
Which we are very privileged to have. So we, in the studio, got a little bit ahead of ourselves and realized that we really needed to expand the lineup. And Louisa came to a show that we did last year, and we were thinking, like, you know, who would be a great person to expand this lineup? And we had previously said, oh, you know, loved working with Louisa Nicklin in the past. David and I played with her in the DC Maxwell band, and I recorded a song for her a little while ago. And then she sent me a message after the show that she saw saying, hey, if ever you need another player, hit me up. And so it was this great, fortuitous situation where great minds thought the same thing.
Beautiful. The lead single, Acquia, is out now, available across streaming and on Bandcamp. The forthcoming album, And It Wants, is due for release October 23rd via Flying Nun and Holiday Records, coming in two variants as well, and you can pre-order the vinyl now. Zach, Peter, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your morning.
Thank you very much. You too.
Cheers.
That was Zach and Peter of Soulfate talking about the upcoming album and newest single. You can hear the single right now here on Radio 1, 91 FM. After that, probably a few more snow-related songs, because I'm still not over my childlike wonder and joy looking out across snowy Otipoti this morning.
was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.